match me. No girl can freak me, I'm just too nasty. Lost on the dance floors, I attack y'all. Snuck through the back door, guess who they saw? Goldie and Ghost, black African rope. Star studded lowlanders, plus the mural was dope. Airbrush WB, stop.
Shake your body, body.
And cop a couple of these.
She's a hottie, hottie.
Godfrey and Sean C.
For what? For what?
They're sick and tired of living in debt. Tired of roaches and tired of rats. I know they are all
one in the head, I'm fed. This is how we do them. Put a rough rider on my dick, bust right through them. Come out your shirt, insert the party rhyme. Fry Dr. Berserk Bacardi Lime. With passionate taste to shake your Calvin Klein before the floor gets moist. Case and follow mine. Swallow nine. Model dimes from Bahamas. Slim doodle makers stuffed inside pajamas.
Reckless coming at you with another episode of the Reckless Effect podcast. Man, so I've been really excited to do this episode. This is gonna be a 10-part 10-week kind of thing. So I'm gonna give you guys the top 100 hip-hop albums of all time as seen by me, because my opinion is the only one that matters at this point. No, but I put in a lot of work to really listen to a lot of these albums and figure out which in fact is the best of all time. So I hope you enjoy this list, and I know that I'm gonna get some criticism for it. I welcome it. Please give me some, because this is my opinion, but it's also collective idea. It's a collective. A lot of people have said similar things. Of course, there are albums that were like phenomenal, but didn't make this list. So I will make another list, or I not make another list, but when I get down to the last 10, I'm gonna give you the honorable mentions, albums that could have been on this list, but for one reason or another is not. So I hope that you guys will listen to all of these episodes going forward, so then you can get to that point. I already have like ideas of what people are going to say, so I'm very much looking forward to it, and I can't wait. So if you guys have anything that you want to say, please drop a comment anywhere. Send me a DM on Instagram, Reckless Effect. Send me one on or send me an email, thereclesseffect@gmail.com. Follow me, like, share, repost this to fucking everybody. You know, I really want all you hip hop heads and all you people out there that may have a similar or even a differing opinion of mine to really show up and like show me what you really think. And if I'm tripping, if I'm wrong, let me know. If I'm right, if you feeling it, let me know. So thank you in advance. Shout out to everybody that's been supporting up to this point. I'm very thankful, very fortunate. It's been fucking crazy. Like, I've had sleepless nights, like I said before, just because I want so badly to give you a piece of me, give you a piece of my mind and my thoughts and my feelings, especially when it comes to everything in pop culture, to my personal life, things that I see on TV or things that I see out in the world. Like, I want to give you a piece of that. Because I know that, you know, everybody thinks things but don't say it. I'm going to try to do that. I'm actually going to try to speak and say those things that we don't really want to say. But aside from all that shit, hip hop is my base. So I'm going to focus on this one for this episode. And then next episode on Wednesday is going to be things that have gone on during the week. And I also got some messages from people who were laughing hysterically over the gentleman who is suing his parents for throwing away $29,000 worth of porn. Again, that's a lot of fucking porn. But somebody also made a good comment and said, well, what if they're vintage? What if they're like ones that you can't ever get again, that you can't find online? Good point, I guess. But dude, everything is fucking online. Like I said, fucking Pornhub has an app. You know, Pornhub has an app. I never, okay, that's a lie. I have bought DVDs, but I haven't kept them. Like, they're all gone because, you know, we're in the streaming age, baby. Like, I still buy CDs and vinyls of music because I know that that's going to last. But even though it's looking like more often than not, people are going to be streaming instead of buying albums, which is kind of sad because when you buy an album, you actually are putting more money into the artist's pocket than you realize. The label is getting more money from the streams than the artist is. So let's keep that in mind and actually buy hard copies. And as much as, actually, I don't even know where I was going to go with the rest of that. But to my point, it's fucking weird. Just don't buy DVD. Who buys them? I mean, if you're going to buy them, watch it for a bit. See if you can find it online. And if you like it, if you like the DVD, like, don't go fucking ham and, like, buy so goddamn many where you have to be like, ooh, it's Thursday. What's my Thursday specials at? Like, you know, like, that's fucking, come on. That's a lot. I mean, like, I don't know. I'm not even going to get into that. But anyway, so thank you again for the people that have been hitting me up and checking out the episodes. You guys are amazing. All of you. All of you. I truly appreciate and love it. So let's get down to the nitty gritty. So, coming in at 100, and again, this is my opinion. These are my opinions, so I hope that you take it, and if you have something to say, again, hit me up, because I'm always fucking listening. But anyway, so, coming in at number 100, this artist was actually credited for being one of the pioneers of rappers of the West Coast hip-hop scene. Hailing from Oakland, California, Too Short was known as one of the best underground MCs, especially on the West Coast. Like, in 1987, he was signed to Jive Records. He dropped the classic album, Born to Mac. His album peaked at 50 on the top R&B and hip-hop charts. Pause. Why is it that they combined R&B and hip-hop? Like, even though it has hip-hop elements in R&B, like, some joints have hip-hop elements, it was completely two separate genres, and you could tell. Like, that's fucking weird to me. It's still weird to me, but whatever. But the reason why I chose this album was because of its rise of the Bay Area scene. It helped launch a lot of careers coming out of the West Coast. And for the people who are like, not just in the West Coast, but in the Bay Area, people who come from the Bay Area are so proud of their history with hip hop and their place in hip hop. You see them still to this day celebrate someone like Too Short or Mac Dre. And E-40 especially, of course, the legend. They celebrate him. They celebrate these people so heavily. And it's in part due to Too Short's influence and his ability to create these beats that felt so, so West Coast. But not only that, it was a different sound. It was like you can feel the Bay Area. You can feel that movement. You can feel that energy whenever you hear any of his albums. And this one was no exception to that. It was incredible to really feel a city, to feel a people, to feel the town in those rhymes. And then and in those beats. And then coming out with that classic joint, Freaky Tales, you know, who hasn't had those Freaky Tales? Does anybody still have them today? Fuck yeah, we do. And it's that influence. Now, don't get me wrong. Now, if that was to come out, it probably would catch a little bit of flack. Now, with this whole Me Too Time's Up movement, it would catch some flack. A lot of crazy stuff. And in one of the lyrics, he did say that he met a 16-year-old girl. So, I mean, and he was 21 at the time when this album dropped. So, it's just, but this album still remains one of the best albums to come out of the West Coast. One of. His influence really helped change the game and created a whole new sound. And it really launched Oakland. So, want to give it up to him. That album was really dope and really incredible. So, now, coming in at number 99 is an album by an MC with complex lyrics, with an intricate delivery, and multisyllabic rhyme schemes. This man is absolutely phenomenal. Former member of Organized Confusion, give you Pharoah Munch. It was 2007 critically acclaimed album, Desire. A lot of people, I know some people are going to come with, like, oh, I've never heard that album. Well, and you probably don't listen to hip hop, but, you probably don't really listen to like the nitty gritty. So when I said like, I really went in to really listen to shit, I really fucking went in to listen to shit. I wanted to make sure that, the albums that I chose, there was a reason why. I wanted to not just pick music, and that's the thing, I didn't want to pick albums that was just like, oh, that album had a great single and another great single, but like it's a whole album isn't like fucking amazing. So I wanted to try to like stick to that and find albums that were really really fucking good, and for the it's for the concepts, for the rhymes, for the delivery, the lyrics, the ability to tell a story, to keep with tones and feelings, the samples, the production. I wanted to really come up with albums that you can feel. And all of these albums that I chose from 100 to 1 are going to be albums that I would recommend to anyone who is trying or who's never heard of hip hop before. And I can pick any one of these albums and you can love it, learn it, understand it, feel it, grow with it. Like that, that's what I want to give here. So anyway, this album Desire had powerful tones. It was creative, complex symbolism with powerful lyrics. The album was received so much and well-deserved respect from artists and critics alike. There were samples in there from Millie Jackson's I'm Free. There was Public Enemies, Welcome to the Terror Dome. This album is truly a must-have for any hip-hop fan. And just to give you a small taste, this was one of my favorite joints on the album. This is What It Is by Pharoah Munch. Just check it out. No longer
Raps like Star Wars, only the stars die, it's no sequels. Beat three cases, see three POs. Before Morpheus and Neo was killing them, we was ducking bullets in the hood like Remo Williams. Understand the underground Dom Sipper, take it serious or die laughing like John Ritter. Young Eastwood, just trying to eat good, breathe easy, relax, Mac like Fleetwood. Keep snoring, keep sleeping, I'll keep touring. Come back, lay in a cut like Neosporin. Came out of the
fallopian blasting. Pharaoh hungrier than Ethiopians fasting. Flies all in my teeth, stomach sticking out. Niggas want dibs on the weed but ain't kicking out. See, this is not American Idol. This is me trying to eat human survival. Spit at your favorite rapper, take his title. Stick needles in his eyeballs till his signs are no longer vital. This ain't that. I'm not them. These ain't those rhymes. I'm not him. This is more like cocaine all night. Shine like the new five halogen fog lights. No. More like sunshine in one line to mine and remind you of when you were nine. Before you were busting cherries, it wasn't necessary to grind then. Now we all on our grizzly. And you got the nerve to press frisbees. What it is.
I just wanted to give you a quick taste of that. It's
hard when you are coming out of a group that people know and recognize and try to go out on your own. Because the success might not translate. But we have seen artists, obviously, that have gone on to great success or have had classic albums after they've left a group. And Pharaoh Munch is one of them. So I felt like this was that moment where I should give him that shine. And in this song, truly one of my favorite songs, but he also dropped one of my favorite lines in the song, which is kind of weird and kind of funny. But mostly weird because I'm weird. The fuck? Oh, yeah. So the line was super simple.
When they see me, they say, "That's that nigga." My last name should be "That's that nigga." Sounds kind of nice, Pharaoh. That's that.
Hella stupid, but it's one of my favorite lines. I don't know why. I repeated that shit for a while. It's just, you know, "That's that nigga." My last name should be "That's that nigga." Sounds kind of nice, Pharaoh. That's that nigga. Like, I love that shit. Anyway, so moving on. Where's this at? So number 8 on my list is probably a surprise. Most likely it is. So number 8 on my list, number 98 on my list, if I was to ask you, what is the best selling album on Ash Money Records label, what would you say it would be? And if you've said anything by Lil Wayne, you are absolutely 100% incorrect. The best-selling album to come out of Cash Money Records and the owner of the spot at number 8 on my list is Juvenile's 400 Degrees. I can already hear the coming out of your voices with this selection, but just let me try to explain. While we all recognize the smash hit off of that album, how many of y'all trying to twerk right now?
Girl, you're working with smash, eh? The bad jam, make a nigga spend his cash, eh? His last hand, holds round with your pass, eh? They mad jam, yeah. You can ride in the jag, eh? With that hand, yeah. You can smoke a fire bag, eh? A grass, yeah. Got money, I can pass, eh? And trash, eh? Yeah. I'm a big time, a nigga, yeah. Pull a trigger, yeah. A player, hate a flipper, yeah. Great filler, yeah. I'm just slinging wood, yeah. Out the hood, yeah. Let it be understood, yeah. It's all good, yeah. Got a nigga screaming large, yeah. On the hard, yeah. A smooth, yeah. Trick, yeah, on the dick, yeah, claiming you want a bitch, yeah, that ain't shit, yeah, the nigga with the money, yeah, on that money, yeah, got birds and a money, yeah, about a 100, yeah, girl, you looks good, want you back that ass up, you's a fine motherfucker, want you back that ass up, always get daddy when you back that ass up, oh, who is you playing with, back that ass up, girl, you looks good, want you back that ass up, you's a fine motherfucker, want you back that ass up, always get daddy when you back that ass up, girl, who is you playing with, back that ass up.
So just wanted to give y'all a little something with it. But although we all know and love that song, Back That Ass Up, and backed by Lil Wayne and Manny Fresh, the track is a smash. To this day, whenever anyone hears that, women is running to the floor ready to get down. Niggas is on the hunt, on the prowl, looking for that chick, you know. Everybody knows the words, everybody knows the shit, but the first single on the album was Ha. That just incredible,
like storytelling, and it was weird because I never thought of Juvenile as someone that can accurately depict something that's going on in his scope that can actually deliver this painting to you to where you feel it and understand it. I never thought about it until I actually listened to 400 Degrees and thought, wow, this album was incredible. Ha was actually an incredible, incredible song. It even got the attention of the great Jay-Z. Jumped on the track and it became the official remix of the song. Now, it's highly debated that that was the worst Jay-Z lyric or Jay-Z feature of all time. It's highly debated that that is. But I feel like that's more of the people from the South who are hearing Jay-Z, who are hearing Jay-Z for the first time. And it's like, who the fuck are you? You know what I mean? Like, people aren't, they're not susceptible to the change, especially if it comes from someone that is supposed to be the dominant area in hip hop in New York. So it was kind of like foreign to a lot of people. But to me, I thought his verse was fire. But anyway, like I said, the album is the best-selling album on Cash Money that was ever put out. Now, I know that some people are going to like do their Googles and look for shit. Look, it's insane to me how much, because the albums that he sold was hard copies, okay? Whereas Lil Wayne's albums, it's not, a lot of them were more, like the Carter 2. The Carter 2, when it came out, a lot of hard copies were sold, and it was great, but it didn't outsell 400 Degrees. The Carter 3, that was the beginning of like the streaming age, you know? People were downloading music, especially downloading music illegally. Think of how many people owned the Carter or the Carter 3, or and it's, you don't get that. Hard copies sell so much more and so much faster than streaming, especially if you're streaming the album and you're only playing one song on repeat or skipping over a few. But when you buy it, when you buy that shit, it counts like so much more. So yeah, it actually was the best-selling album. Until Drake, but it's debatable if Drake is actually part of Cash Money, even though he is part of Cash Money, but it's more recognized that he's like Young Money. So anyway, shouts out to Juvenile. So I thought that that was appropriate to put that out there. And weird, yeah. So whatever you want to say, I don't care. no, but I'm just kidding. I want to hear it. So give it to me. Number 7 on my list. Or 97. Damn, I'm just 7'6", whatever. 97. Jay Dilla is hands down one of the best producers on the planet. Wouldn't you agree? This album that I'm about to introduce was produced by him and shows just how magical he was. Flanked by Bateen and T3, Slum Village dropped this incredible album, Fantastic Volume 2. With A Tribe Called Quest now broken up, the hip-hop community was really looking for a new group that had that neo-soul hip-hop sound that kind of reflected that, that imagery, that feel, that vibe, that jazz, you know? And they gave us that. The album truly didn't disappoint. This classic album, which featured the record Fall in Love, although Bateen and Jay Dilla are no longer with us, rest in peace to the both of you gentlemen, this album still stands as one of the albums that single-handedly saved rap. In a time where there was a lot of gangster rap, there was a lot of just a lot of bullshit that was coming out of the gates and everybody feeling and thinking that they can be a rapper or feeling and thinking that they can be a producer. You know, we got a lot of like a lot of noise that came out, but hip hop in its core was falling out of grace in a sense. And luckily with Slum Village, we were able to capture that vibe and that feeling. A lot of people didn't think that this album was actually going to drop. They recorded it in 98 and then it came out in, I'm going to say, 2000. And that was just because A&M music group began to dissolve. And that was the label that they were on. So they were looking for a new label after they finished the project. So when they finally found a home, it was time to drop this. Although one of the songs, Thelonious, was on this album, it was eventually removed and given to Common to put on his album, Like Water for Chocolate. Also, incredible album. Incredible album. Not on my list, though. but anyway, so that was that. Now, we're going to keep it in the year 2000 for number 96. It's the debut album. Oh, wait a minute. You know what I should do? I should let you guys get into that and fall in love with Slum Village just a little bit. Just a little bit. So let me just play a little bit of Fall in Love. This is really one of my favorite joints.
1, 2. 1, 2.
Loving my music, it's like some sex shit. Niggas trying to grip up my mic like it's a dig. Run around the corner to pick up the new shit.
Hustlers in the deck so niggas could catch red.
I'm the motherfucker grip up the mic like it's a joke. Niggas fall in love with the music like it's a hole.
Put down your mic, you lost your whole world. You take it too seriously like it's a gamble.
Fuck this rap shit, I listen to classical. In the studio, loop as usual. Love it, my lyrical. For bitches that you would know, I'm out of this. You wanna be below, y'all niggas in love with the S. Y'all niggas in love with the S.
Again, that was just a little taste of Fall in Love. And like I promised, when I finish the entire top 100, I will make the playlist that I have for it available, so then you guys can check it out. It'll be on Spotify, and I'll drop a link the day I drop the last 10. So moving on. So in the 2000s, hip hop was just on the rise, which is weird to me when people acknowledge or say that hip hop is dead or dying. It's weird because I'm thinking of all the times where people have said it, and the generations where people will say, or the decades where they'll say it was thriving the most. Honestly, I think to this day, hip-hop is actually thriving a lot more. Hip-hop was always meant to evolve. It was always meant to change. It was always meant to grow. It was a welcoming community where people can come in and tell their stories and be able to be honest without fear of judgment. So it's amazing to me to hear people say, like, this artist is whack and contributing to the downfall of hip-hop. It may be true in some sense where there is a lot of garbage and a lot of noise, but all hip-hop is good hip-hop, because even if it's bad, it's still good, because you're learning from it. You're learning what you don't like to hear, what you don't want to hear. The idea of conceptual art is kind of lost. People are not, there's a lot of artists that are not creating albums with an idea in tow. They're just, I have this sick beat, I want to rap over it. And nowadays we're getting to this point where people don't want to just hear beats anymore. Like, we want to hear a little bit more of you. Me personally, I always want to, if I like a song that I hear, like, on the radio, or I'm at a store, or my friend is playing something, like, if I hear it and I like it, I'm gonna want to listen to your album. And when I listen to your album, and if I don't come away knowing who you are, and all I got was dope beats and some rapping, like, cool, you can rap, but who are you? I don't want to ask that question. I want to know who you are. I want to know where you come from. I don't want to know about all the money that you have now. I want to know about your struggle. I want to know about your community. I want to know about you. And if all you are is money, clothes, and hoes, then I don't care as much. And that's good for a time period, don't get me wrong. And if you're able to create this this like these rhyme schemes to where I stay interested, because you're able to give me metaphors and similes that are so deep that I actually love hearing about the money, clothes, and hoes. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, this is the debut album for number 96. This is the debut album of the duo Talib Kweli and High Tech. I bet you thought I was going to say Mos Def. Nah, I wouldn't disrespect the Black Star like that and make them this low. But it's no disrespect to this album, because Reflection Eternal and the album Train of Thought was actually really fucking good. The High Tech produced album has basement underground beats, and Talib brings a flurry of metaphors and deep thoughts and an ability to paint pictures with his words. So vivid, color gets jealous. Bars. But it's true. Talib Kweli has been consistently looked down upon as one of the dopest MCs, although other MCs regard him as one of the best. I wonder why that is. Is it because he took more of a political stance and he's always been woke, and people are like, nigga, you need to go to sleep because you were too woke? Maybe. But I'd rather hear the messages from someone that has had a higher understanding from the jump. And when you hear his music and you hear what he has to say, especially on Reflection Eternal, you'll get a better understanding of who he is, who this group is, and what they can do. High Tech has gone on to do more albums. He produced the Black Star album. He's produced this one. He's done three separate albums, High Technology, which have all been crazy. And we've seen artists like Estelle jump on him. We've seen Busta Rhymes. We've seen a lot of people, Papoose, get on a lot of his beats. The man's phenomenal, and he's a dope producer, and he's kind of nice on the mic. I'm not even gonna front. So just to give you a snippet, this is Move Something from the Train of Thought album.
Yeah. What's with the melodrama? Fellas wanna hover in my cypher like a helicopter, like it's a special honor. The stealth bomber, jam dropper, make the ghetto holler. Intercontinental, taking you high like skydivers when we spark with live wires. Original, caveman quest for my fire. Express my desire to drop this new shit. These record executives keep telling me y'all stupid. Now if they right, shut the fuck up. Revolutionary, throw your guns up. Whether you a bougie broad who acted stuck up, or some ignorant thug motherfucker shooting the club up, we gon' make y'all feel this. Break y'all spirit if y'all fake that realness. Word, we bringing it in from the new millennium to way after that. I call these cats rentals cause they plastic wrap. Kill all the yapping, let's make it happen. You cats ain't real, y'all just a reenactment. Better yet, dramatization. Soon as the director say action, you start faking. I start breaking, the whole joint starts shaking. This ain't the time or place for you to prove something. Got the stargazing, yo.
So that was Move Something. Go and check that out. The album is it's really good and fucking incredible. I love anything that Talib Kweli puts his name on. Like every time he spits, it's always dope. I own all of his shit. I remember shout out to Antonio and Alexander, man. Like we went to it just so happened we showed up there. We went to go see Talib Kweli here in SAC at Ace of Spades, and the man fucking ripped. Just ripped. And I'm up front spitting bar for bar. He's hands down one of my favorite MCs. He's one of my top favorite MCs. When people ask me my top five, he's always up there. So just an incredible, phenomenal MC, phenomenal performer. The man deserves all of his fucking flowers before he goes. Knock on wood, not anytime soon. The man's incredible. So I hope you guys have been feeling me so far. I know you guys are like, what the fuck, I'm Juvenile still, but still, fuck my dick. Anyway, Coming in at number 95. God, I gotta get that shit down. Coming in at number 95 is hands down one of the best rappers to come out of the South. All the way from H-Town, originally a member of the Ghetto Boys, Scarface. Dropped the album The Fix in 2002. This album had it all, including Kanye West, Jay-Z, Nas, Faith Evans, Pharrell, and Benny Siegel. This album, this incredible album, depicted hood, navigating through the hopelessness, and being a dimebag millionaire. You dig? My Block was such an incredible tale, but it was the kickoff joint Safe that you really feel the overall tone and honesty in his voice. Incredible piece of work from this H-Town genius, this giant, this legend. Check out just a little bit of On My Block.
For the block, boy. Take it rough. It's been the same old thing on my block. You either working or you slanging cocaine on my block. You had to hustle, cause that's how we was raised on my block. And you stayed on your hop until you made you a nut on my block. To hang out was the thing back then. And even when you left out, you came back in. To my block from Holloway, Belfort to Scott. Reroad the flocks, we know the spots. So we the rocks, we drank all the blue dots. On your block, you probably bred a fat pad of Tupac. A big pun of B.I. Your homeboys from knee high. And even when it was storming outside, that nigga be by. That's me, dog, on my block. I ain't had to play the big shot. Niggas knew me back when I was stealing beer from Shamrock. And my nickname was Creepy. If Black Joe could see me, he'd be tripping. And I bet he still try to tease me. On my block,
well, everything is everything for Sheezy.
My block,
we probably done it all, homie, believe me.
My block,
we made the impossible look easy for Sheezy.
My block,
I'll never leave my block. My niggas need me.
On my block, we ducking nigga haters and the
You know what's crazy to me? I find that a lot of artists have a hard time being as honest as they can be when it comes to who they are, where they come from. Like, speaking on so much of, like, the hood, you know, you hear the stories about, you know, them shooting other people or threatening to kill other people. Like, we hear that so much, it becomes saturated. Like, we don't air about it as much. It becomes normal, in a sense. Not only normal to hear it, but normal to see it and to feel it. Like, we go on in this world just expecting somebody to come up behind us and, like, you know, kill us. It's crazy. Like, that's. But I want to hear more about that fear. You know, what's the fear like? You know, how does that feel to you, the artist? I don't know. It was just something that was just running through my brain. The next album, I loved so much. One of the tracks actually spawned my first B-boy name. Back in the day, when I was a youngster, 7th, 8th grade, I shout out to the Lore brothers, Michael and Stephen Lore, Rodney, John Paul, Lou. Shout out to Underground Flow, Psycho Kids. That wouldn't be me without y'all. What's crazy is that I used to watch the movie Breakin'. And I pop a little bit, but even further back, I always wanted to be a dancer. When I was four, I was watching like old movies with my mom and my grandma, and Easter Parade was on, and I saw Fred Astaire move, and the way that he danced was just so fucking incredible to me that I just was stuck. And then the next movie that comes on was Kiss Me, Kate. It's still my favorite movie to this day, and it made me. Like, it solidified the idea of me wanting to be a dancer. Watch Dan Miller get up in that red dress singing Too Darn Hot, and she's dancing, just tap dancing. And when the music stopped behind her and she's creating this rhythm and this sound with this little bit of movement and then these big, huge movements to create this rhythm, it made me want to dance. And then fast forward, I never learned to tap dance. Never. And it was the one thing that I really wanted to do. But my mom put on Breakin' one day. Me and my brother were watching it. I loved that shit so much that I, like, mimicked every fucking thing. Like, I really wanted to be, like, Turbo and Ozone. But then I realized that I wanted to be more like Ozone. Like, I wanted to be the choreographer. I wanted to be the mastermind behind it. I wanted to create the movement that people can look back on and look at that artist and say, holy shit, that was amazing. And take that pride in. Knowing that I created that. But anyway, I ended up learning how to break dance, and I was fucking terrible. All I could do really was a couple poses here and there. I could rock really well. And then the song that I was playing one day just popped up and said just this one thing, and it completely, like, it just spoke to me in a different way. And it was just something so simple. Just oh so simple. That was it. Just don't stop the body rock. Like, that was my shit. That was my shit, and that's how it stayed. I just became Mr. Body Rock. That was me. Fucking random story, but I had to say it. And if you don't know already, just from that small drop, When Disaster Strikes by Busta Rhymes. It helps cement the legacy of Busta Rhymes. We already knew who he was and how dope he was, but we really didn't know how dope he was until this album dropped. His rhyming technique and ability to rap at high speeds with the heavy use of internal rhyme and half rhyme was ever apparent in this incredible album. Led by the hit single, though, Put Your Hands Where My Eyes Can See. Legend has it that if it wasn't for Busta Rhymes and his visuals, Crump probably would not have been born. So that's a big fucking deal in the hip hop community. But this album, it changed the landscape. People were able to hear somebody who was completely different from everyone else, doing something that sounded like nobody else could do. He was really intricate and completely amazing. So that being said, let me just bust down a little bit of Put Your Hands Where My Eyes Can See.
You saying, yo? Silly with my 9 milli with the dilly, yo. What? When I be on the mic, yes, I do my duty, yo. While up in the club like we while in the studio. You don't wanna violate, nigga, really and truly, yo. My main thug, nigga, named Julio, he moody, yo. What? Type of nigga that'll slap you with the tulio. Wow. Bitch, nigga, scared to death, act fruity, yo. Fuck that, look at shorty, she a little cutie, yo. The way she shake it make me wanna get all in the booty, yo. Top mistress at the banging bitches and videos. Huh? While I'm with my freak like we up in the freak shows. Nah. Hit you with the shit, make you feel it all in your toes. Hot shit, got all you niggas in wet clothes. Styling my metaphors when I formulate my flows. If you don't know, you fucking with lyrical player pros.
Do
like
you
that.
Really wanna party with me? Let me see just what you got for me. Put all your hands with my eyes to see. Straight buck wildin' in the place to be. If you really wanna party with me, let me see just what you got for me. Put all your hands with my eyes to see. Straight buck wildin' in the place to be. If you really wanna party with me.
So that's Busta Rhymes. Put Your Hands Where My Eyes Can See. Man, it's dope as fuck. All right, so we're getting there. We are almost there. We're almost to number 91. Oof, wild. Anyway, so here's another album that's actually going to raise some eyebrows. But I promise you, when you listen to the album in full, you'll probably feel me on it. This album, how can I fucking describe it? Easy. This album was incredibly loud. this album was not for those with soft ears. This was raw, this was vibrant, eccentric, with powerful lyrics backed by beats from Dr. Dre, Battle Cat, Scott Storch, Eminem, and DJ Quick. With the first single, X, you had no choice but to tune in and listen to this album. It commanded your attention and didn't ask for it. The album prior, 40 Days and 40 Nights, caught the attention of Dr. Dre and many others in hip-hop. Because it features legends Snoop Dogg, KRS-One, Sugar Free, and Eric Sermon of EPMD. If you haven't heard this album, I highly suggest you take a strong listen to it. This is Exhibits, Restless, and here's the song that I mentioned, X.
Broadcast alive to you and yours. It's Mr. X to the Z exhibit. Yeah, bouncing. of the rest of my life. Stand behind the mic like Walter Cronkite. Y'all keep the spotlight. I'm keeping my rhymes tight. Lose sight of what you believe and call it a night. This ain't the lightweight cake mix shit that you're used to. Teflon territory, you just can't shoot through. You gon' shoot who? Not even on your best day. Rolling the Wild West way, giving it up. Leaving the whole world stuck, not giving a fuck. Late in the cut, now we break through in the rut. Come on, Hennessy and orange juice, baby, fill up a cut. Quick to grab Mary Jane by the butt and squeeze. Loosen up, let your hair down and join the festivities. Overcrowd the house like lockdown facilities. Bitches be quick to give me brains while I push the reins. Going up and down my dick like the stock exchange. Rearrange the whole game with my rugged sound. Won't even say your own name when I come around. Stay on top but remain from the underground. To the Z and we all in the family. Rearrange the whole game with my rugged sound. Won't even say your own name when I come around. Stay on top but remain from the underground. To the Z and we all in the family.
What's crazy is the West Coast really like perfected that strong, angry, just power. Those powerful lyrics and tones when you hear them, because they want to make you feel them. It's pretty beautiful and poetic, actually. Because on the West Coast they wanted to, or the East Coast they wanted to make sure that you heard them and relate and understand, right? That's what all hip hop does, but East Coast had something different. They had that sound that made you want to rock, but it also made you want to listen. And then when it came into the golden age where, you know, there's that jazz influence, like with Guru and his Jazzmatazz albums, or with a Tribe Called Quest, or, you know, the De La Soul, like you wanted to hear and feel it and groove. Whereas the West Coast was like, no, we're going to get you all up in the fucking face. Like, we want you to not only hear us, but we want you to feel us. So I always loved and respected the West Coast for that, 100%. And obviously Xzibit is one of those LA West Coast niggas that's just like, damn. anyway, coming in at number 92 is arguably the best band in hip hop, The Roots, with Things Fall Apart. Such an incredible piece of art. Even though they dropped three albums prior, they were still seen as just a small novelty act that would eventually die out. I mean, if you really think about it, a drummer with a huge afro and a pick in it, two beatboxers, one of them being the legendary Razzell and the other being Scratch, and a dope but not huge of a showman of an MC with Black Thought, The Roots stood toe-to-toe with artists who needed samples to sell records, while The Roots were heavily influenced by jazz and other traditional schemes. The album opens with a scene from Mo Better Blues, where they speak on sacrificing creative vision to pander to crowds or stay genuine to their craft. That spoke volumes of who The Roots were and who they still are. Even though that they have perfected the sound of other artists and other sounds, they still stood true to who they were, and they wanted to continue that path. This proved that they didn't need to change a damn thing in order for the world to recognize their greatness. Standouts off of the album is, of course, You Got Me, which introduced the world to Jill Scott, an unknown singer and songwriter at the time. She wrote and sang the hook on the track, but the label felt that it would be better for an established singer to be on it. Enter Erykah Badu. The other track is Double Trouble, where Black Thought traded bar for bar with Mos Def, arguably one of the dopest MCs. An incredible display. You see just how good Black Thought truly is as an MC, and you had no choice but to pay attention. This is You Got Me from the album Things Fall Apart.
Live in the same building on the same floor and never met before until I'm overseas on tour and peep this Ethiopian queen from Philly taking classes abroad. She's studying film and photo flash focus record. Says she working on a flick and cut my click through the score. She says she loved my show in Paris at Elysee Montmartre, and that I stepped off the stage and took a piece of her heart. We knew from the start
start that things fall apart. Intent to shatter, she like, that shit don't matter. When I get home, get at her through letter phone. Whatever, let's link, let's get together. Shit, you think not? Think the thought went home and forgot. Time passed, we back in Philly, now she up in my spot. Telling me the things I'm telling her is making her hot. Started building with her constantly round the clock. Now she in my world like hip hop and keep telling me, yeah.
So, this next one, number 91, we're here. The first 10 albums of my top 100, we're here. This one I know for sure is on everyone's list of great albums. Probably, arguably one of the greatest that on my list is at number 91. This album, and the artist himself, is definitely the GOAT. Rounding out this part of the list, Tupac with All Eyes on Me. I can already hear, what? I can already hear it. Well, let me tell you this. It was the first hip-hop double album to be released globally for mass consumption. 18 years after he died, the album was certified Diamond. One of 10 hip-hop albums that have that honor. And only 6 of them made my list. Only 6 of them. Did you really think that I was going to put MC Hammer on here? Come on. This album is the most paranoid, schizophrenic, furious, but brilliant albums ever released. I mean, when you start an album by whispering, "You don't wanna fuck with me," you know some ill shit's about to go down. Album was a fury of powerful lyrics, complex imagery, and incredible beats to match. Debuted #1 on the Billboard, sold 5 million copies worldwide. I know. But why is this album number 91? You're gonna have to listen to the rest of my list to get it. Because you can make a strong case as to why this album's not in the top 10, but there's more albums out there that have beat it. This album was truly incredible. Him coming out of prison. Him, dealing with Death Row and having Suge Knight sign him to 3 albums. And him feeling the pressure. Oh, by the way, I know you're saying 5 million albums, 5 million copies sold, that's not Diamond. Well, when you do a double disc, it counts as 2 different albums. So even though it's on one, the 5 million is doubled. So then it equates to 10. Excuse me. And a lot of artists now lately have not been able to do that, especially in the streaming era. That's why it's a lot more important and a lot more powerful for people to go out and buy albums, even if you buy it on Apple, with Apple Music. Buy the album. It affects the artist a lot more. So when you hear your friends and they're telling you, buy my album on Apple, or you can stream it, buy it. Buy it. It's a lot more powerful. This album was truly incredible, especially with Ambitions as a Writer. Hearing the legends of him going in and saying, y'all niggas better get y'all shit right the first time around, or you off the fucking album. You're off the track. And the fact that he really wanted to get the fuck off that label, and then him dropping that and dying shortly after, it speaks to the legend of the man. It is truly an incredible album. But I promise you, when you hear the rest of my list, you'll see why. Probably not better than what's number 90, or maybe it's not better than #1. So, we'll see. Although, I can tell you now, it's probably up for debate for number 90, but I'm open to it. So make sure you guys hit me up. Alright, so here is one of the tracks from the album. This is Ambitions as a Writer. Felt like it was a good way to close this top list, so here it is. Fucking enjoy, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm a straight rider, you don't wanna fuck with me. Got the police busting at me, but they can't do nothing to me.
I'm 10 plus cars. This life is a rap star. It's nothing without God. Was born rough and rugged. I'm dressing the man public. My attitude was fuck it. These motherfuckers love it to be a soldier. Must maintain composure at ease. Don't like what's complicated. Only what you make it to be. And my ambitions as a rider. The catch her while she hot. And horns go up inside her. Then I spit some game in her ear. Go to the telly, ho. He put with money in a bin. This bitch and belly broke. I'm smoking bomb ass.
Rest in peace to that legend. Actually, I'm going to play one more for you guys. Wait, should I go Tupac again from that same album? Yeah, I will. This one, another banger that everybody knows off this classic album. This is How Do You Want It?
How do you want it?
Hips and push your ass out. Got a nickel wanting it so bad I'm about to pass out. Wanna dig you, and I can't even lie about it, baby. Just to leave at your clothes, time to fly about, catch you at a club. Oh shit, you got me feeling, body talking shit to me, but I can't comprehend the meaning. Now if you wanna roll with me, then here's your chance. Do an 80 on the freeway, police catch me if you can. Forgive me, I'm a rider, still I'm just a simple man. All I want is money, fuck the fame, I'm a simple man. Mr. International, player with the passport, just like a ladder, bitch, get you anything you ask for. It's either him or me. Champagne, Hennessy, a favorite of my homies. When we floss on our enemies, witness as we creep to a low speed. People to hold me, pump some more weed, bump, you don't need. Approaching hoochies with a passion, been a long day, but I've been driven by attraction in a strong way. Your body is banging, baby, I love it when you're flown. It's time to give it to daddy, see Nick, and tell me how you roll it. Come to talk, am I a fool or what? Positions on the floor, it's like erotic. Ironic, cause I'm somewhat psychotic. I'm hitting switches on bitches like I've been fixed when I drop it. Up and down like a roller coaster. I'm up inside to hang quick until the show is over. Cause I'm a rider, in and out, just like a robbery. I'll probably be a freak and let you get on top of me. Get the rockin' knees, nights full of Alizé. A living legend, you ain't heard about these niggas play these Cali days. See, Lawrence Tucker, use a motherfucker. Instead of trying to help a nigga, you destroy your brother. Worse than the others, Bill Clinton, Mr. Bado. You're too old to understand the way the game's so. You're lame, so I gotta hit you with the hot facts. Want some release, I'm making millions, niggas top that. They wanna sit to me, they'd rather see me in the cell. Living in hell, only a few of us are in a tail. Now everybody talking about us, I could give a fuck. I'd be the first ones to bomb and cuss. Nigga, tell me how you want it. Tell the truth, I got the scoop on how to get a bulletproof. Because I jumped from the roof before I was a teenager. Mobile phone, sky page, game rules. I'm living major. My adversaries is looking rugged. They paranoid and people rugged. One of us gonna see the cemetery. My only hope is survive. If I wish to stay alive, getting high, see the demons in my eyes. Before I die, I wanna live my life in ball. Make a couple million, and then I'm chilling, fade them all. These taxes got me crossed up, and people trying to sue me. Media is in my business, and they acting like they know me. But I'ma mash out and peel out. I'm ready quick, that's quick to whip the fuck and steal out. Yeah, nigga, it's some new shit, so better get up on it. When you see me, tell a nigga how you want it. How do you want it?
Let's be real for a second. How many of y'all thought that Jodeci was saying in the cash game? How many people actually knew that they said that? As a kid, I thought he said trash can. Coming up as a nigga in the trash can. What the fuck was I smoking back then? Nothing. Well, because I was a child. But anyway, I just wanted to drop those on you. I hope you enjoyed that list. Again, if you have any, if you would make any changes or take anything off of that list, tell me what you think. Tell me which ones you would change or take off. Email me, thereclesseffect@gmail.com. Hit me up on Instagram. Follow me, Reckless Effect. Yeah, just hit my DMs. Like my pictures. That's where I'm going to be posting, like, just random and weekly shit about what's going on in the world. Update you guys on it. And if you guys missed this list, I would drop the album covers soon, so then you guys can see that top 10. The next list will be from 90 to 81. This one is gonna get a little, but it's I would say it's a pretty fair 10 that's coming up next. So you'll hear that next week. So I can't wait for you guys to hear it. Thank you so much for tuning in, you guys. This has been a lot of fun. Yeah, so catch you on the flip. Let me know if you liked this episode. In the future, I'm going to do a top 100 artist, maybe. But again, I was thinking of doing that and taking out Pac, Big, Eminem, Jay-Z, and Nas and see how that list would shape up. And I hope that you guys would do the same and hit me with that, because I really want to see what people think and who they feel are the dopest MCs. Now, by the way, this list is going back from 85, I want to say, 85 all the way up to 2016. I chose that specifically because the last few years we haven't had that super great like album. I think one of them is from 2017. Yeah, maybe one or two, but we'll see. Anyway, thanks for tuning in, you guys. This has been fun. Catch you next week. Peace.